This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. Ride with me. And it'll take you up to 3 o'clock as we take you around the DMV here on this Mother's Day weekend. Shout out to all the moms out there celebrating, getting your flowers throughout the weekend. We'll have a little fun tomorrow morning when we're back with you here on The Fan. I got double duty tomorrow. So Ben Strober, you always are amazed. First of all, can we clap it up for young Ben Strober? You survived the junkie sleepover. I saw you bright and early with your red ginger hair lighting up the TV set on Monumental. How was it, my friend?
It was fun. And the funniest part was I think I got texts from everybody from my hometown's dad. I got yeah. Like 50 different texts. I saw you on TV today. That's really cool. I listened to the Sports Junkies for 30 years. I didn't know you worked for them now. I was like, I was just filling in for a day.
Love it. That's always the best bit, man.
I didn't sleep too well. It was hot as hell on that couch.
So you did the couch.
Yeah, with the little TV, which I think somebody told me you can't change the channel.
So whatever it's on, you're
but it was a baseball game, and it was the Angels coming back in the ninth inning, which was the first thing they talked about on the show Some dude who did a 15-leg baseball parlay, that was his last leg, and the Angels or the Blue Jays blew the game or something. Jeez. So it's pretty funny how it worked out like that. But, you know, I was up bright and early, 4 in the morning.
Love it.
And right when I got back to College Park, I fell asleep for 3 hours.
I was about to say, I know you had a lacrosse game that you had to get prepped for as well. So
yeah, that was yesterday.
Got that out of the way. All right.
Yep.
So you're back kind of on a normal schedule here as you finish up the last couple of assignments for college. Oh, young Ben Strober, ladies and gentlemen. I'm super excited for you, brother.
Thank you, man.
We got a lot to get to over the next 3 hours. Just me, you, and young Ben Strober all show long. We'll go guest-free here. We may have a guest stop by the program if we can hound one of the beat reporters that are out there in Ashburn for the start of rookie minicamp. I was talking about it late last week. Yesterday was supposed to be the opening session, or excuse me, the session that was open to the media. There was some inclement weather, so it ended up not being the case. Today's session is, of course, open to the media. Obviously, I'm here with you all, so I did not get the chance to be boots on the ground out in Ashburn, but we will keep you up to speed via social media with all of the tweets that come through, letting you all know what's up and what's down with the Commanders rookie class. 5 rookies that they selected, a bevy of UDFAs as well. The most notable UDFA, Gabe Taylor, the younger brother of former Commander safety Sean Taylor. So I know there's a lot of eyes on Gabe and whether or not he's going to be able to make this football team or not. We'll talk a little bit about Gabe Taylor and the safety position as we roll throughout the next couple of hours here. But you all know how to get at us. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. A lot to get to. Big time NBA hoops last night. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets getting it done. I guess I shouldn't say Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets because he was god-awful last night. from the field. It was one of those games, if you stayed up late last night to catch OKC in Denver, game number three from Denver, the altitude, I know it's something that's always talked about whenever we talk about the Rockies and the Broncos and the Nuggets. It is real. You saw it in that fourth quarter last night. The shots for Oklahoma City consistently came up short. And it was enough for Denver to take a 2-1 series lead. Let's not forget about it because this is a situation where, you know, they fired their coach right before the end of the regular season in dramatic fashion. This is still talking about Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. I think it's still the best duo in the NBA postseason right now. I firmly, concretely believe that. And I think because of that, they're going to have every opportunity to walk away NBA champions this year. I give Denver as much of a shot as anyone here. Like, that's just kind of how I feel about it. Now, we'll see how this thing continues to play out. I think for Oklahoma City, all of the conversation around them being too young and not being primed and ready for the moment, if you watched the first three games, take out game number two because it was such a, you know, rout. You look at the first three games and, you know, OKC has looked every bit of that young team showing youth and inexperience. So we'll see if they're able to bounce back in this series. We'll talk NBA playoffs hot and heavy as we roll throughout the show here. We do have some local flavor on tap this afternoon as well. Nats and Cardinals, game number two. Ben, I know you want to go Kanye crazy about the Washington Nationals. I know James Wood, was it yesterday or the day before, had a pretty bad drop in the outfield. It's been interesting, the start of this Washington Nationals season. They're actually playing really well. If I had to sum up Nats baseball to this point, and take the first two series or out of the equation, I do think they're playing good baseball. I do think they've made improvements. There's just one weak link, one Achilles heel of this baseball team that we routinely talk about, and it is the lack of trust from their bullpen. I mean, they are a group that can't get right. And last night, I think it stung a little bit more. Ben, before you started working here, every time Eric Fetty was on the mound, we would play some Fetty Wap as we introduced the starting lineups. Mm-hmm. And Eric Fetty last night, his return to Nationals Park, first career shutout as the Cardinals blank the Nationals 10-0. The day before against Cleveland, it was the bullpen coming up short. Yesterday versus St. Louis, it was the offense going, you know, frozen spaghetti on us. And that's kind of the story with this group. All year long, they've shown flashes, as I continue to say, because I feel like for the most part they've looked good, but their inconsistencies show up in the same places over and over and over again. The Nats lose for one of two reasons this year, it feels like. They couldn't get enough runs, couldn't hit the ball, didn't have run support, or the bullpen comes in and blows a lead.
I got a hypothetical for you, or not even a hypothetical, but just for you, Linnell, as a sports fan. You ever been watching a game of your favorite team, and you have a player that just stinks every single time he plays, and you go, I wish they would just cut him right now, right after the game. I wish he'd be off my team.
That's how I felt about Benjamin St. Juice last year.
Well, the Nationals just did that with Lucas Sims last night. Like, an hour after the game, he was released.
I mean, you can't, bro, Zuckerman tweeted something out, bro. I don't know if you saw Zuck's tweet.
I honestly laughed when I read that tweet. Because like, it seems like they wasted no time. But, however, it was a disservice to the fact he pitched as many times as he did this year.
I was about to say, I'm trying to pull up the tweet now because as soon as he doinked someone else.
He hit seven batters in like 12.
Yeah, he's faced
something ridiculous.
He's faced six batters, walked three, hit one, and gave up a hit while throwing the run-scoring wild pitch. We saw Poche recalled or sent down.
He was DFA'd.
DFA'd. And now we're seeing it with Lucas Sims, two of the worst. I mean, in terms of the Nats bullpen, relative to all of the pro sports that are going on right now, playoff basketball, playoff hockey. The WNBA is getting ready to get in full swing. Is the Nats bullpen the worst group out of all the professional sports going on right now?
I think probably.
Like, it's tough.
Because in basketball and hockey, I mean, these teams are all in the playoffs. They're obviously all good teams, and you know they're not going to have something as bad as the Nationals bullpen. Linnell, what I wanted to say is more from a broader standpoint for all the Nationals fans that are tapped in here with us on the fan. Stop tweeting and stop begging the ownership group and Mike Rizzo to put out these extensions for James Wood, CJ Abrams, Dylan Cruz. And I'm telling you not to stop asking because I don't think that should happen. I think absolutely guys like Wood and Abrams need to be extended as soon as possible. But I'm saying it because it is not going to happen until the ownership changes. This ownership group is not going to give these extensions to these players right now. That's just how it is. I think the Learners are clearly on their way out. I'm not sure when the eventual sale of this team will be, if Leonsis will be the one to get it, but they are not going to put any more money on their books until that sale is done.
Huh. That's one way to look at it. Wow.
Think about it, because if you were the Nats right now and you had ownership that was in it for the long run and really wanted to build a successful franchise for years to come, why would you not just offer Wood 10 years, $300 million right now, or $285 million?
Because you know Scott's not going for that. The guy that I think is most likely that they should be on right now is CJ, because he's not represented by Boris. So, like, that's your opportunity.
Wood's a local guy. He's low-key. So you have to imagine that, you know, some of his maybe personal beliefs of being around his family and, you know, how he likes playing in the DMV could play a factor in that. And Boris,
well, does he like playing in the DMV? That's the other
I think there. He does. I think he does. I've talked to people that know him more personally than I do and say that they think he's a loyal guy and he might actually want to be in it for the long run around here. I don't know if that's truly how it feels. You'd have to ask him yourself. But, you know, he's a Boris guy. Boris guys rarely don't get to free agency. But if you offered him, you know, that kind of cash, you know, not even a full year into your MLB career, that's tough money to turn down.
It is, but I think
you got to at least, you got to dangle. Got to dangle.
For sure, and I'm sure, to their credit, you know, that they have in some form or fashion. I just think it'd be, wow. Okay. So we won't be getting rookie minicamp updates from our pal John Keim, his son, graduating today, so he's missing practice. I was texting with my guy David Harrison earlier today. He is not out there because he's got some family obligations as well. So it'll be interesting to see what updates we get coming out of practice. Maybe that caged animal Chris Russell made it out to Ashburn because he didn't have to work today. So we'll see. We'll keep you up to speed on Commanders rookie minicamp as we roll throughout the show here. A lot to get to as we just getting rolling here on this Saturday afternoon as we take you around the DMV. Number to call is 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Caps in the Hurricanes, game number 3 tonight as the series moves to Carolina. Washington with a bounce-back performance in game number 2. Do they have enough to carry the momentum into the Carolinas? We'll discuss that next here on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just get rolling here on this Saturday afternoon as we take you around the DMV here on 106.7 The Fan and our sister station, Team 980. Number to call is 1-800-636-1067. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 3 o'clock. A lot to get to before we get out of here. Playoff basketball on tap a little bit later on this afternoon. Knicks and Celtics game number three, coming up. At 3:30 p.m., first of all, the NBA, kiss my ass. Why would they put Knicks and Celtics game three at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time? Put them in prime time. It's ridiculous. There's no reason I should have to sweat. We get off at 3 o'clock today. Knowing how you idiot drivers around the DMV move, I'm probably not going to get home until 4 o'clock, 4:15, and the stupid NBA... I'm sorry.
No, just come senior bar crawl with me.
You're going to senior bar? Where are you senior bar crawling at, Ben?
In College Park. And then I'm going to post up and watch the Capitals, hopefully get this dub.
Yeah. Talking about a team that looked night and day different from game one to game two. If it wasn't for Tom Wilson, where would this group be?
I mean, they might have not won game four in Montreal without Tom Wilson.
Yeah. Big game Tommy, man. That's what he does. I don't know if you're familiar with this term, Ben Strober. Tom Wilson just doesn't go like cheese, bro. Like, that's just not, it's not what he does.
What is this, a 2008 term?
2008. That's incredible, Ben.
Kindergarten year for me.
Damn, that's ridiculous. That's honestly just ridiculous. You make me feel ridiculous at times, brother. Good gracious. But, no, in all reality, man, Logan Thompson was awesome, 27 saves in game number two, but it was Tom Wilson, man. That third goal of the night really kind of put this thing away. The blocked shots that he had, I just thought he was a physical tone setter, man. And when you think about what Tom Wilson is, man, 6'4", badass, got some speed to him. A little bit older, a little bit later in his career, so he's not as fast maybe as he once was. But one thing's for sure, you know, when offenses around the NHL have the puck, you are very aware of where Tom Wilson is, point blank period. And I think the tone that he set in game number two, hopefully that's able to, you know, carry over into tonight. But I think it was Connor McMichael talking afterwards about, I mean, look, these two teams don't like each other. They just don't. There is legitimate bad blood. This is a rivalry. I'm done trying to underscore it and play it down. Like, oh, it's just another game. How can they be rivals? No, this is a rivalry, full blown.
And I think because both these groups are relatively young, especially this Capitals core, this might become the new Rangers and Penguins of the 2010s decades. I think the Carolina Hurricanes might be that thorn in Washington's side for the next 5 to 7 years.
And it's crazy because we've sort of watched Carolina take their lumps, get better, acquire a bunch of talent with speed, and now we're at that point where they're ready to strike while the iron is hot.
And Pittsburgh is at the bottom now.
Which is absolutely...
Because they were a dynasty.
Exactly. It's crazy how, you know, the roles reverse, so to speak. But Caps into Hurricanes coming up 6 p.m. tonight. Pregame coverage is going right here on The Fan at 5:45. John Walton, Ken Sabourin. We get you warmed up for that. Is this a must-win for Washington here tonight?
I think you obviously need to win one of these two games.
You got to.
I think the energy is going to be very prevalent in that building. Rooster was on for A1 at 11.
Is he going to drive down there?
I don't think so. He said he was getting his car fixed today and stuff.
Well, maybe that's why he's getting his car fixed. I know there are definitely...
It's a six-hour drive to Raleigh pretty much from here. So.
Well, I know Grant was talking about it early last week, but I know he's now...
He's sick now,
wait,
right?
Was Grant in the studio?
Where you are?
Yeah.
No, he was over there, I think.
Okay, good.
Well, he's sick, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You and Grant are both always sick. What's up with that?
It's not true.
Doc always gives you crap. He says that you're too young to be sick as much as you are.
Not sick a lot. Doc's just old. Anywho, you just completely took the wind out of my sails.
I'm sorry.
Wait, the current title odds for the Stanley Cup. Right now, the team with the best odds to win the Stanley Cup is the Vegas Golden Knights. Caps have the third best odds. Edmonton at plus 300 has the shortest odds, so to speak. Carolina, so this is what was interesting. Before the Game 2 victory for Washington, Carolina had the third best odds? Something along that line?
Yeah, and I think it was inflated specifically because of how dominant they were in Game 1. I think, in a way, I'm not going to say it was a fluke because the Capitals obviously played maybe their worst game in a long, long time. I know they weren't great down the stretch, but I don't know if they really even played a game that was that bad in terms of just getting dominated, in terms of offensive zone time from Carolina, physicality. They were overmatched, and I think Vegas at that point was looking on saying, maybe Carolina's much better than Washington here. I think the Capitals kind of shifted that momentum a little bit, and they weren't perfect in Game 2 at all, but they made strides, and I'm wondering if they can really put it together for a full three periods today.
Yeah, that would be a hope. The key is to this is don't get punked here coming off the rip. Like, that's not that's what it felt like happened in game number one. It felt like Washington got punked right off the rip. And I think Spencer Carberry post game after game number one, unlike I'd ever seen him, man. Unlike I've ever seen him, man. I just it's gonna be interesting, man, to see what happens here tonight. I do think the big key for me here tonight is drawing, not necessarily drawing first blood, but laying that first check, laying that first hit down. I think that to me is probably the thing that, you know, spearheads whatever team wins the victory tonight. Who's going to come out and be the aggressor early? Who's going to punch the other team in the mouth? Because that's what this has turned into. I don't expect this, you know, to be some high-scoring game. I don't expect to see many high-scoring games in this series where we're talking about 5-4 overtime wins. I expect this thing to be nasty, dirty. 3-1 the other night was high-scoring to me. I think if, you know, I'm thinking 2-1, 1-0 at times. These are two really good teams that don't like each other. And the physicality is ratcheted up. And it just feels like to me, and I don't know, Ben, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. I do think Washington's got to get one of these two. The opportunity to win two in a row in a series and really feel like you've got a stranglehold on it, I think is super important for Washington. Now, if they do fall victim to the system tonight, so to speak, right? You're in Raleigh, raucous crowd. They're super geeked up because they stole game one in D.C. It's going to be a tough environment, a tough scene to manage. That's the good thing, though, about this Capitals team. Yeah, they have some interesting young pieces, but for the most part, they're a veteran-laden team that has been in this spot before. So I fully anticipate them answering the bell tonight. Will they win? They need to.
My gut tells me that this series is going to be seven games. And I feel like everything shapes up for it. You know, the NHL is going to lick at their chops if this is a seven-game series because these two teams, as you mentioned, they don't like each other. They've played really competitive, chippy games. If there's a game seven in our nation's capital with the trip to the Eastern Conference Finals on the line, that is going to be an insane broadcast atmosphere, everything.
Must-see TV,
for sure. It's going to go crazy.
AP is in. Laurel wants to chime in on the old Washington Capitals. What's going on, AP?
Hey, what's going on, Linnell?
How you doing, brother?
Hey, so obviously, you know, I'm a big Caps fan.
Yes, sir.
What I've observed, especially in game two, but also game one, obviously is puck possession. And I think game two was basically us seeing that the Caps are starting to figure out this puck possession strategy that the Hurricanes are so good at. And the key for me personally is forechecking.
Yes.
Like, I know easier.
Easier said than done. There's some big dudes out there, AP.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're big. They're kind of big, but they're fast.
Right.
And it's like having to line them up in the crosshairs to get a good forecheck on them is easier said than done. But, you know, thankfully we have the hit specialist, Tom Wilson, on our team.
The hitman,
who can make calculated hits when needed. Like, usually he was, you know, in past times, he was just, you would have thought that's all he wanted to do.
Right.
But now.
He spent a lot of time in that penalty box, AP.
Yeah. A lot of time to think and stew about things.
Yeah.
But I would say that Tom is now making more calculated hits.
Yeah.
He's making them when they need to be done. And he's doing them to where they're within the rules of the game. So I think for tonight's game, you know, what I also noticed was we left some goals out there. Like my man, Bavillier.
And that goes back to the puck possession
thing as
well. He had a
wide open net.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you got to hit that. Because goals are going to be hard to come by against this team. And especially
for sure.
In North Carolina tonight, any goal that we may have, any opportunity that is there, we got to cash in, and that's the difference between and in the series against these guys. But
for sure.
I appreciate you having my call. Thanks,
yes, indeed, AP. Good to hear from you as always, brother. Enjoy your weekend, my man. Yeah, I think AP hits right on the head. Puck possession is huge. The big difference in game number two as well, the hits, Carolina out-hit Washington 44-31 in game number one. Game number two, they out-hit them 17-16. So that changed. The shot differential was much smaller as well. I know there were a lot of people freaking out after game one because the Caps only got 14 shots up. Well, look, they won the other night with only getting 21 shots. So that's just kind of who they are. I think the defense, though, that we saw in game number two was just a lot better. They were more spirited on that end. The effort level was greater. And I think we keep talking about old Tommy Wilson, man. Tom the Hitman Wilson. He is a tone setter for this group, and I hope, you know, he's able to set the tone coming up here tonight as well.
He's just the guy that, you know, he puts his body on the line. Yeah. I'm really impressed with the effort of the defense because even though the Capitals have been dominated.
33 block shots, man. That's impressive.
They're not getting dominated because the defense isn't playing well. They're working their asses off out there. They're putting their bodies on the line. Wilson had a 45-second shift in game number two where he blocked two shots. He was flying all over the place to deflect passes away, and that's the kind of stuff they need because Logan Thompson, he's good enough in the cage. And I'll say it right now, he is a good enough goaltender that if the Capitals offense can string together some good possessions and you know, maybe get a couple good bounces, he's a guy you can win with.
But say good luck with that. I mean, their inability to maintain the puck is that's the one thing I come out of game two going, all right, you won.
But is it just a matchup thing though, is what I wonder, because this isn't an issue they had all year.
It's not, but
it's just weird that how with
it's
Carolina.
It's also different when you're playing Carolina. Having to beat that team four times, having to out-tough them, out-physical them for four games in a series, I think is a tall ask.
Is it crazy to say that this is a more difficult series to win for at least this Capitals team, the way these two teams match up, than maybe Florida or Toronto?
Dude, I think I saw JP say it, and I thought about it for a second, and I thought, well, is this recency bias? But no. The winner of this series probably goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. I think this whoever wins this should be favored in the Eastern Conference Finals when you think about how much of a knock-em-out, drag-em-out brawl this has actually been. We'll keep you up to speed and give you some more Caps talk a little bit later on in the show. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Let's talk a little bit of NBA hoops here for a second. Knicks and Celtics, game number three coming up from Madison Square Garden, big game feel coming up. Is this a must-win game for the New York Knicks? We'll chew on that next. This is The Fan. So moving and grooving right along here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also live and free on the Always Free Odyssey app as well. You can tweet at me. It is at @NELL_BTP. Knicks and Celtics, game number three tonight from Madison Square Garden. See, I'm saying tonight because it should be tonight. Game number three this afternoon from Madison Square Garden. If you have watched the first two games of this series, it is very clear and obvious that here's the best way I could describe it. I think there is a... Is this the right word? There's an arrogance that I feel like Boston has played with in the first two games of this series based off of their shot selection, based off of the way that they carried themselves defensively. I really look at this group and go, you know what? They don't deserve to win this series. And I think if you've watched Boston all year long, this is kind of who they've been. Now, I just am not sure. I'm not sure tonight if it's a must-win game for Boston. I think it's a must-win game for New York. If you're in New York here, you got to get this done. At home, the energy is going to be on your side from being at home with your home crowd. I just think you've got to take advantage of that if you are the New York Knicks. And I think they will. It's just tough for me because I'm stunned by the way the first two games have gone. I am. I thought New York would get game number one simply because of the first round series that both of these two teams played. New York in a knock them out, drag them out brawl with the Pistons. Boston kind of cakewalked through Orlando. So it felt like New York was more primed and ready from the get-go of this thing. But I do feel this. The most important player in this series, the best player in this series of the first two games, without a shadow of a doubt, has been Jalen Brunson. And I feel like going into this thing, one of my key points was, look, Jason Tatum has to show up. Jason Tatum has to continue to be the best player on the floor. He hasn't been to this point. He has been god-awful through the first two games of this postseason, this series. And I'm wondering, where does this come from? How does he shake back? Is it something we can assume will happen? Because let's just be real here, right? Through the first two games of this series, Jason Tatum is 5 of 20 from the three-point line. That's 25% for those of you out there that don't have what me and young Ben Strober have, that Montgomery County Public Schools public education. That's 1 for 4, dude. Like, he's shot the ball extremely poor, and the shot selection to me is what has been more disheartening.
I know you were mad about that last possession in game two.
Dude, like,
got the switch, and then he goes into a triple team?
My thing is this. He played with the basketball too much, right? You got the switch to where you get Mitchell Robinson on you. It's the big man. You're Jason Tatum. You get down here. You get to the Baja. You do what you need to do. There was a split-second moment where he lost his dribble. And then, I told you, my uncle, diehard Celtics fan, he goes, but now what you want him to do, man? You get triple team. He dribbled into the triple team. That was one of those situations where Mitchell Robinson, and Ben, you know this, you get a big switched on to you.
Mm-hmm.
As a big, I'm retreating because I don't want to give up the layup. If you're Jason Tatum, understand he's on his heels. He's backing up. That was a take-a-jump shot situation. That wasn't a get-to-the-cup situation.
I thought we were going to see a step back.
Yeah.
Something like that the Jason Tatum MO. He's a shot creator. Those are the kind of shots you want him taking with the game on the line. And I don't know what the hell was going on in his head on the last possession there, but that was atrocious. And
you couldn't have drawn it up any better. You got the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to the Knicks' credit, right? Like, you're able to survive the bad switch because if you've watched Knicks basketball all year long, it's honestly been tough to watch. This is the worst Tom Thibodeau-led defense I've ever seen in terms of the effort, the mental lapses that we consistently see with this group. It is the worst Tom Thibodeau-led defense I've seen.
Dude, you remember the 2014 Bulls defense?
Yes.
Because I will always remember the Wizards winning that series in Game 5. The final score was 75-69. Are you serious? If that was a score in an NBA game today, people would lose their mind.
Yeah. So here's the thing about me with my relationship with Tibbs right now. We're at a point where it's like, think about why Tom Thibodeau is valuable to a basketball club. Because of the principles that he instills defensively, the mentality that he demands you know, out of his guys on the defensive end. When you've got the perimeter defensive trio of Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, why do you need tips? That's kind of my thing here. 1-800-636-1067. I think it's very clear. It's a must-win game for New York tonight. I think the pressure is on them. Boston's down 2-0. The way most folks are talking nationally from a media perspective, they've already counted Boston out of this series. Joe Mazzulla is the other thing that I got to point to. Remember we were debating whether or not he, your buddy had texted you saying he didn't call a timeout? That was real.
Yeah.
He did not call a timeout through that entire sequence. I believe it was something like a 21-2 run that New York went on against Boston. And like that just can't happen. He's come up small coaching-wise in some really big moments. Remember they were playing the Heat a couple of years ago when he first got the job?
In the postseason?
Uh-huh. And they were talking about him getting fired. That's when I think Marcus Smart hit the buzzer beater, or was it?
No, it was White.
It was Derek White, yes.
The tip-in.
Yeah.
That was one of the most insane game winners I've ever seen.
Yes.
It forced Game 7, and they laid an egg in Game 7.
Exactly, and that was the crazy part about it. The conversation then was, damn, is he the right guy for this? I like Mazzulla as a coach. I think there are some antics that he kind of goes with doing the whole bit of, he like thinks he's Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson and like all those stoic coaches who don't say much at the podium. He just kind of goes about his business. If they lose tonight, first of all, I always say this about NBA playoffs. This year in particular, it's more true. When certain teams do not reach expectations during the postseason in the NBA, there are seismic changes that follow. And for the Boston Celtics, you're already starting to see and hear the whispers of, well, if they don't win, can they bring this core back together, knowing that they're paying into the luxury tax, knowing that new ownership is coming here in Boston? Do they want to pay into the luxury tax if they're not going to be a championship team? If you can't punch your ticket to the conference finals, why the hell am I paying the luxury tax? 1-800-636-1067. Bays is out in North Potomac. What's going on, Bays?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, man.
So, yeah, you know, I'm originally from Yonkers, New York, so obviously the Knicks are my team.
Gotcha.
But in my opinion, this is not a must-win for the Knicks tonight or today, and I'll tell you why. One, we've already built a cushion. Two, we've already proven we can beat them. We beat them twice in their house when nobody thought we were going to win. Three, we've also proven we can come back from big deficits. They were up 20 points on us in two games in a row. We came back and beat them. And a big reason why is because we play a more punishing, more relentless type of ball than they do.
Yes.
They're more of a finesse team, whereas where we, it gets late in the game, we come to put it right in your face, punch you in the mouth, and put you away, and they can't handle it.
No, I think you hit it right on the head. My one fear, Bays, and I'll let you continue, brother. My one fear is what you mentioned. Them going down 20-plus points in both of these two games makes me feel like in tonight's game, Boston understands their back is against the wall. You drop two at home. Not only do you get up 20, you want to get up 30, and don't let them come back. I think, would you agree, Bays, if you've watched the first two games, there's like an arrogance to me that Boston has played with here from a shot selection standpoint and then just an overall intensity and effort standpoint. Why the hell is Joe Mazzulla not calling timeout down the stretch when a team is on a 21-2 damn run?
Because in their mind, they feel the shots are going to fall eventually.
At some point, right? Yep. You hit it right on the head.
They feel like the law of averages are eventually going to take over. Those threes will drop, yep, and we'll go back up by 15 points.
And
but that's not happening.
And that's kind of how I felt too, Bays. Because this is why I said Boston would be hard to beat. After game one, I'm like, okay, they missed a historic amount of three-pointers. You got to rely on them shooting the ball poorly four different times. It's already happened twice, though, Bays. So it's like, oof, are they in trouble?
The Celtics, I definitely think they're in trouble because I think this is how they play now. I think this is who they are. And what's really missing for Boston, too, is these two games, they've gotten nothing from Jrue Holiday or Porzingis.
No, they have
and
not.
Those are their two major contributors. And now I'm starting to think that they're not going to get anything from those two guys.
Yeah, it's tough. I give a lot of credit. Mitchell Robinson gave New York some really good minutes in game number two. I think that's been part of the equation as well. I'll just look at Jason Tatum, though, Bays, and go, man, if you've got to step up and show why you're one of the best young superstars in the NBA. Baze, I appreciate you tapping in as always, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep things on the hardwood. Warriors and Timberwolves, game number 3 coming up tonight as well. Stephen Curry expected to be on the pine for at least the next couple of games. Is Golden State done without Stephen Curry? We'll chew on that next here on The Fan. The party continues right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will lead you in our coverage of Washington Capitals hockey tonight. Caps and Hurricanes from Raleigh, game number 3. We saw what happened in game number 2. Big game, Tom Wilson getting physical. Knock them out, drag them out, brawl is what it's been throughout the first two games of this series. Can Washington take what would feel like a commanding 2-1 series lead if they can pick up the victory here tonight in Raleigh? Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long to hear our coverage of Washington Capitals hockey. If you're listening on our sister station, the Team 980, we got you covered there with some local play-by-play as well as we roll throughout the afternoon. Nats and Cardinals continuing to lock horns here this afternoon from Nats Park. If you're on your way to Nats Park right now, it's beautiful outside. They got the farmer's market going on across the street, Ben. You need to, that's the one thing. That's my, you're going to be here every Saturday, it feels like. So what you will notice during the springtime is this farmer's market that they have out there, ridiculous.
What could I get into over there?
The best smoked meats that you could ever taste in your life.
Okay, I'm interested.
Calzones they got over there. What's the empanadas? There's this empanada station where they've got like 30 different type of empanadas. They've got a bagel station. They've got muffins. They've got fruit, veggies that you can pick. So I always love the farmers.
Like a Jamaican empanada?
Dude,
like
they've
that.
Got, I'm sure, I'm telling you, it's really 30 different flavors of empanadas. I've had they have like a sweet chicken empanada that I mm-hmm. like, that I normally grab when I stop by there. I haven't, full transparency, right? I got back driving again last summer, so I haven't really took the Metro. That was normally a Metro bit for me because you get off of the stop and you literally walk out of the Metro station and you see these tents set up and you're wondering what the hell's going on. It's the farmer's market. See, absolutely awesome.
The Jamaican food intrigues me because when I was spending this past 2 summers up on Cape Cod calling baseball games,
yeah,
there was a Jamaican restaurant, and I'd go in there, and the people that worked there, I will say they were not friendly people. They did they did not want to serve anybody. They did it with a frown on their face every time. But damn, the food was so good.
Yeah, they probably realize how good their food is and how underpriced.
I've never seen such miserable people. I was like, your food's so good, you should be happy.
Well. Sounds like Cape Cod for you.
Probably.
1-800-636-1067. Drew in D.C. Drew, you think New York could put the nail in the coffin here this afternoon? That's why I think it's a must-win game, Drew, because if they win, this bad boy is over, brother.
Yeah, man. First of all, I want to say, man, cause, you know, hey, man, I just want to say, man, you do a hell of a job, man. Love your show. Love the family there, man. But
I appreciate you.
Also, like I say, man, we already know what Boston is. Boston ain't them a jump shooting team. I can't stand their concept. They don't use their size. Yeah. They could score 120 a game, shoot the three, and plus if they can just incorporate the pick and roll with that offense, they would be unstoppable. But New York haven't even played their best game.
No, they haven't. Yep.
And that's the scary part about it. They haven't even played their best game. And what I like about it, that I think New York, if they do put the, you know, they do it today, is done. Because I like them. They finally letting them play. They not calling the ticky-tack fouls.
Yeah.
They taking it back to the old school. They letting them bang a little bit. And that's New York style of ball. So I think if they get them today, you know, really that first quarter is going to tell.
I'm telling you. Because,
you know, they'll have the jitters, you know, New York, okay. Like Townsend said, don't get too comfortable. Okay, you know, we up 2-0. We did what we supposed to do, but we still ain't on to the next yet. So I just look at them, man. They get through that first quarter, get the jitters out, and they got a lead on Boston. They're going to go ahead and bust Boston ass, man. So I just want to tell you, man.
And look, Drew, I was going to say this, too. The other key that really was the other big difference for me in game number 2, we finally got Kitty Cat to show up offensively. That's there the one go. Thing I've been worrying about. He hasn't put together – it feels like it's been a couple of games, man. Even the back end of that Pistons series, he was kind of struggling offensively.
Yeah, but once he, but like I said, once he, you know, he found, he scored in key moments.
Yes, he did.
You know, like in the, he scored in key moments, but like in that Pistons series, like I think that one game he went off in the second half or whatever. If he had one of them games, and I say this, I don't want to take too much of the time.
Yeah,
but
go ahead,
that was one of the great pickups by New York. He really fits that system.
Yeah.
He really fits that system, man. And the other guy that just came back from injury, the big tall guy, man, I can't think of his
Mitchell
name.
Mitchell Robinson,
man. That's your rebounder right there. But like I said, Cat do his thing inside and out. Boston is done, man, because, you know, Tatum, I like him. You know, I like him and Brown, but they're not using their skills like they should, man. Ain't no way in the world you 6'8", and you got a 6'4", guard on you, and you're going to pull up and shoot jumpers, man.
It's tough to watch. It's damn sure hard to watch, brother. I appreciate you chiming in as always, man. Appreciate the kind words. Enjoy your weekend, Drew. 1-800-636-1067. First hour in the books here on this Saturday afternoon as we take you around the DMV. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. When we come back, we'll get into the National Football League. Commanders rookie minicamp underway this weekend. We'll touch on that before we get out of the 1 o'clock hour. When we get back, big-time retirement at the quarterback position out in New Orleans. We'll give you the details on that next. This is The Fan.